here we are.
Welcome to Let's Play the Create Podcast.
Oh, it's so fun to play.
It's fun to create, too.
Yeah, it's fun to be human.
It's fun to be alive and check in with yourself and see, what do I want to make?
Yeah. And it actually really ties into what we want to talk about today, which is, it's also fun to be a gal.
Oh.
And a gal with desires. And even if you're a gentleman and you're listening to this podcast, I think that this is a really important conversation. No matter what your gender identity is, you carry within you both female and male energy, life force. And so whatever you identify with, we want to talk today about feminine desire and activating feminine desire. But know that no matter what your gender is, you actually have it. And you have it to activate.
Well, because the feminine desire, when we talk about feminine energy in the body, it's really the receiving part of us and the part of us that can be in surrender, the part of us that is sensuous, and the part of us that gives birth to creation. So
right.
All of us have that energy. So you can listen to this conversation and say, where can I develop that energy in my life and listen in a deeper way to the part of me that wants to create something in my life?
And it's so fun to have a conversation about creating while there's literally so much construction going on outside the window. But it does kind of make you remember that all of life is either construction or destruction.
Yeah, that's
so
right.
If you're not building, if you're not expanding, something is getting torn down.
Ooh.
And so we have to be really conscious about honing and activating our creative energy. Now, the yogis actually have a model of energetic anatomy. The yogis have a lot of models of energetic anatomy, which are really cool. The common one that people have heard of is the chakra system, but there's actually several models. There's multiple. But one way that they describe energy is that we all have a central line of energy. And if you imagine from the base of your pelvis running up to the crown of your head, you have this central line of energy. It almost looks like a DNA strand. And it's called the Shishumna Nadi. And this is how our energy travels. And specifically in the creative process or our emotions, this is how the energy travels. So if we want to go from idea to manifestation, the energy has to travel up through the chakra system along the Shishumna Nadi. If we want to travel from getting a download or a hit from divine cosmic consciousness and you want to bring it down into your life force energy, it has to travel down that same energy. So we want to keep this connection. It's almost like the earth and sky, and that we want to keep the energy between earth and sky within us totally clear at all times. So we have these vital energy centers, these chakras that run up the Shishumna Nadi. And traditionally in the system, there's seven. There's also been talk that there's nine. There's also been talk that there's 110. There's talk that there's many of them. But ultimately, there is kind of a common model where there's these seven energy centers, and they all run along the Shishumna Nadi. Now, interestingly enough, we have a male energy and a female energy, and these energies run up and down the Shishumna Nadi. And when these energies are perfectly balanced, the chakras along the Nadi is balanced, because where the masculine and feminine intersect is within the house of each of the chakras. So the energy goes through the body doing what it does, and it connects at the center of each of the chakras. So the masculine energy is called the Pingala, and the feminine is called the Ida. And Pingala is this passionate, moving, fiery energy that's motivating and gets stuff done. This is commonly how we think about it. And the Ida is the energy, like you were saying, is receptive, is nurturing, is listening, is water type energy. But the interesting thing is, if you have too much fire, it douses out the water. If you have too much water, it douses out the fire. So you really do want to have your masculine and feminine energy very balanced, because as it shows up in each of the chakras, and specifically today, it makes sense to talk about the second chakra, which is our sacral chakra, which is our sexuality, our creativity, and our emotional body. And this is the area by which we produce. What are we here to produce? Are you here to produce a baby? Are you here to produce a project? Are you here to produce a desire? What are you in this moment producing and creating? It comes from this place. So if you don't bring that feminine energy to it and to this space, then we are at a disservice to actually being able to create it. We need both. We need the fuel of both. But I do think the misconception here is when we think about masculine energy as the fire, then we assume that masculine desire is fiery and passionate and hot. And we assume that feminine desire is somehow fluid and soft and different. And yet, we all know that there is nothing more powerful than that ocean wave coming to get what she wants.
And can we have a moment for a second and just like scream internally that we're talking about female desire? Like, even that we're having this conversation makes me want to take my clothes off and get sweaty. Like, yes. The permission to embrace female desire and to say, yes, get messy. Let's get dangerous. Let's get dirty. Let's throw some shit on the walls. Let's fuck it up. Let's give ourselves permission. Let's not make it clean. Let's not follow the rules. Let's not color in the lines. That is what is actually inside female desire.
Right. And but the misperception is people say, well, that's what masculine desire is.
Right. Like. Exactly. And I think that they think of female desire. Well, I think people don't think females have desire, or there's been a whole cultural story about stripping desire from women, right? We've been all raised on stories of to be a good girl is to keep your legs closed, or to be a good girl is to be quiet, mm-hmm. or not talk back or express your feelings out loud, when actually inside the birthplace of creation is so much primal energy.
Yes.
That inside surrender, like people often think of surrender as giving up, but surrender is the hottest game in town, because through surrender comes something that doesn't come from the mind.
Right.
It comes from an energy that is uncontrollable. It is wild. And so as we come into this conversation about female desire, we're really talking about, like that book, Women Who Run With the Wolves, permission to get to know our unknowable wild self.
That's exactly it. And if you actually think of the act of sex, the ultimate surrender leads to orgasm.
That's right.
Right? You can't control, make happen, mentally rehearse an orgasm. Does that make sense? You have to open yourself to the pounding that's
yes.
occurring, to the pounding of life, to the pounding of life force. You have to open yourself fully, vulnerably, completely, and only that is the power of the feminine.
And you know what's so fascinating about that? There's no control there.
None.
If you want to get really pounded, you gotta let go. You can't be inside your mind. You mm-hmm. actually have to be in such a place of deep openness. Like, I love to talk to women about female orgasm and go, oh, it's literally about so much let go that there's nothing, no part of you holding on anymore.
Right.
Right. And through that, something can come that can like literally come through that will shock and leave you in amazement and awe.
Right.
And the same thing is true about life, that we spend so much time trying to control and manage life, but there is a great let go of life wanting to burst through us.
Yes.
And it takes a certain amount of permission to say, I'm curious, I'm willing to be open, I am ready to see what I might not know. And this whole conversation was inspired by our darling Liz Gilbert and her new book, City of Girls. And I have just been listening to interviews all week, and I love when she talks about, I was looking for stories about women who were sexually free that didn't get punished for it, and guess what? They don't exist.
Yes.
And to me, that goes all the way back to the witch hunt.
Yeah.
Like, if a woman starts to be free and in her power, there's so many cultural stories around punishment for that kind of self-actualization.
Yes.
So I'm really curious about coming to this conversation of, What is everybody so scared of? What are they trying to keep under wraps? And who is it up to turn the tables over and go, what if everything that we're looking for is inside, like the opposite of what we were taught?
Right. In the same way that we always say all the power is an inner game.
Mm-hmm.
Everything in life is an inner game. The outer world is a hologram. It's a mirror. It's a reflecting back of what is going on the inside. And if you want to be a quantum creator, if you want to create, you must stop donning the position of being a reactor to an outside cause. And you must realize that you are the cause causing the effect in the outer world. So if we as women got that we are the cause of pleasure, of desire, of possibility, of power, of whatever the fuck we want, then life would change.
Yes. All of life would change. The bell chimed.
The bell chimed.
So, you know, we love us some Mama Gina, and she had that huge book, Pussy, A Reclamation. And I love how she talks about, like, listening to your pussy and letting it start making the decisions for you.
Yes.
Here's a quote from her. She says, "Your feelings are the utmost priority. Your desires are more important than anyone else's deadline or mandate." Isn't that the opposite of what we were taught as women?
Opposite.
It was like, put everybody else first. Yes. Is everybody's needs or desires met? And then we do the same thing in sex, right? We think about our partner's needs and desires, and we actually don't even know often how to speak up for what we want, right? It's like we don't even have that permission.
Yes. I had spent so many years being in sexual encounters with men, feeling so scared to ask for how I liked something that I actually would start doing this thing where I would just close my eyes and kind of start telling myself things that would turn me on and kind of activate myself. So it kind of became irrelevant what they were doing. But I created this whole song and dance because I was ultimately too scared to say, hey, touch me like this, do it like this. This is what I want. And there was so much fear about expressing that for me, it actually took having a first sexual encounter with a woman that it made me courageous enough in that relationship to say, here's what I like, here's what I want. And it was so well received. It was like, oh, I can't wait. I can't wait to do that. How wonderful. That then when I was able to come back into my next relationship, which was with a man, it became easy for me to ask what I wanted. And there was something in my body that when I said, here's what I want, and they were like, great, thanks for telling me, it set me free, but it also made me want to cry because it was something that I didn't know how to give myself permission how to do. It felt so scary until I just did it.
Thank you so much for sharing that story. That is so vulnerable and so powerful, and I think it's incredibly universal. And it's really interesting that if we can't do it with our sexual desire, how do we do it with life? How do we go up to life and say, this is what I want? How do we even start to know what it is we want if we haven't given ourselves permission to be curious?
Yeah. You know, I was in this dance class the other day, and if anyone's in New York, these dance classes are fantastic. They're S Factor classes.
Yes.
Right? So I went to this class, and it was a class about feminine movement. And the beginning of the class, the teacher goes around and she asks every woman, basically, how are you today? And like, what desire do you have today? And so of the four women that were in class, there was this one older woman who was maybe in her 50s. And she said, I'm just so happy to be here. I traveled from Boston to be here for this class. And I'm here with her friend that she brought, who is this young, beautiful young woman who had just graduated from college, right? So it was like this really like opposites, this like 50 something year old woman and this young woman who just came from college. And then the woman beside me was a woman who it was her 40th birthday that day, and she'd never really moved her body that way and was just curious. And then there was me, and I was like, well, I just got back from Paris and I'm just feeling like I want to move my hips because that's what Paris does to me. So there was this really interesting room of me in my 30s, this woman in her 20s, this woman in her 50s, this woman in her 40s. And all we did was listen to sexy music, uh-huh. and that you close your eyes and you move to the music and you move how your body wants to move. And it's about fluid movement and moving your hips and, you know, touching your own body, like feeling your own fingers on your cheek and on your leg and just enjoying your body. Every single woman, no matter what walk of life she was from or how old she was, walked out of that room with the exact same posture, which was this openness and this freedom and this confidence. And it reminds me how often I walk through life moving in a quick masculine way, for lack of a better term. It's like even my workouts will be very results based. It's not about the sensorial feeling power and energy. And so many of us are caught up in this rat race of achievement. And I think that that's the imbalance, because feminine desire is not about results the way masculine desire is. Feminine desire is ravenous and experiential.
That's it. And puts you right into the present moment, because suddenly you're in your senses. You're sitting here looking at the beautiful person that you're talking to. You're smelling your skin. You're tasting the wonderful coffee. You're right here. You already won. Like, pleasure isn't somewhere in the future. It's here and now. And often you and I talk about transactionalism on our podcast of, I'm doing something to get something. And so I think what happened with women, when we took away their sexuality, cut them off from their power, told them not to be in touch with their desires, to behave, to perform, to be passive and subjugated, that then they had all this, there's all this energy in women that didn't know where to go. So it went into this like huge overachieving and really outward based, right? So many women, I feel like I have conversations daily with women who try to control some aspect of their life that is all about the appearance of it, the form of it, right? I'm going to control the way my body looks. I'm going to control the way my skin looks, the way this looks, that looks. And it's all about an outer based validation from the world, as opposed to an inner fulfillment. And there is something about when you're truly listening to your desires and speaking them out loud, walking that direction, giving yourself permission, you get a deep sense of fulfillment. And I believe I was at the NDRE concert last night, and she said, when you have true fulfillment, that makes you richer than any person in the world, right? Then it's here now. Then happiness is here now. Pleasure is here now. Fulfillment is here now. Love is here now. I'm no longer trying to contort to get something from the outer world that cannot give it to me. I actually realize that I am the source and the fountain of that which I have been looking and longing for.
That's beautiful. I feel like this also applies to our friends who identify as male.
Yes.
That in the exact same way, they were given limiting thoughts about who they need to be in the world. You need to be strong. Mm-hmm. You can't cry. You can't show your emotions. And that's the suppression of their femininity.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
So let's make women feel ashamed for their femininity, and let's let males feel like they have to be kept from their own femininity. And then we expect there to be a connection and a reverence between the sexes.
Yeah.
And we notice in our world that it's just not there. And of course it's not.
I was listening to Mark Groves, and he had his podcast, and he had some teacher, maybe I'll look it up and see if I can find it. And the name of, you'll know why I listened to this podcast. The name of it was The End of Female Caretaking. And he was talking about women being conditioned to take care of their husband's needs. And in the same way, men being conditioned to never show weakness. And he was talking about, like, look at these, whatever the epitome is of of masculinity in the world. It's like the Terminator, right? It's Superman. It's, they don't show weakness. Mm. It's all about this kind of strength. And when a man is not allowed to say his vulnerability out loud, his sensitivity, to feel his feelings, when that, like you were saying before, when you're talking about the chakra system, when that feminine energy isn't allowed to flow, then everything gets out of balance.
That's right. Yeah. And it gets out of balance in every chakra,
yes.
Right? We're not just talking about the second chakra from which you produce.
Yeah.
So yes, the way we produce gets very achievement based and it gets very hustle based. But also you look at the first chakra, which is foundational energy, fear based energy. So everyone moves into a place of fear and I have to hoard and I have to get more because what I have is not going to be enough. Mm. And I can't stop working. I can't take my foot off the gas. We move into the third chakra, which is about your sense of self, your sense of I am. Well, I only can identify what I am as what I can accomplish and what I can do. And if I'm not working, if I'm not accomplishing, if I'm not getting somewhere, then I have no worth. So I can't live in a place where relationship is valued, where nature is valued, because that has nothing to do with me getting somewhere, which is going to make me feel like I'm someone. Mm-hmm. But look at the energy of the heart. If the energy of the heart is not balanced in that way, then we experience the deep grief of disconnection, because the thing that we're actually connected to are the things that we can't take with us. So we're only connected to form, and then our spirit is deeply disconnected, and our spirit is the only thing that lives past this life and past this body, and we get further and further and further away from it. And so then we lose our ability to not only connect with ourselves, but to have authentic connection with our kids, with our partners, with intimacy. We lose our ability to be intimate. And then you move it into the throat chakra. This is our area of expression. We lose our ability to be able to speak from our heart, and we can only speak from the computer programming of our mind, which is ultimately feeding us lies that are operating as truths. Then you move into the sixth chakra, which is our intuition, our sense of connection, our sense of right seeing. We lose our ability to see anything other than what the next task in front of us is. We lose big picture capacity. Then we move into the seventh chakra, which is our connection to that which is greater than us, our connection to consciousness, our connection to faith. We don't have any faith because we believe that we have to be the doer. We have to do everything, and we lose the ability to know that we're supported, that we're held, that it's not a one-man show. And so when we look at the person who is living in that way, we say, oh, that's what we've labeled the American dream. The person who's living in that imbalance. That's what we label a person who's nailing it.
Uh-huh.
Right? That's what we label as a person who is successful. And yet, that is the person who's disconnected from their feminine energy. And we label that a success. And we wonder what is wrong.
Yes. And there's so many things that we can look at that show us that the models that we've been using just don't work. There is a great book by Dr. Wednesday Martin that's new called Untrue. And she undoes the myths of female sexuality and shows just the science and the research behind what women are capable of, what our bodies are made to do, what our natural desires are, that there are so many things on the spectrum of what is normal, but we just haven't been given ourselves a forum to talk about it and to express it. And so I think that as we start to give ourselves just permission to have an inner conversation about what is the desire in my heart for my sexuality, for my life, for my creativity, for my spirituality, for my dreams. As we give ourselves the permission to tap into that desire, now we're building intimacy with ourself. And from that place of intimacy with self, then we can start to have intimacy with others. But I don't even know if that's possible if we're not really asking those deep questions within. Otherwise, it's just all surface.
That's right.
Nobody's going down in the ocean. And that's what we're all longing for. That is actually what makes us feel alive, is that inner investigation.
And that's where the healing is.
Yeah.
The deep healing of ourselves, our inner world, and therefore our mother nature,
mm-hmm.
and our capacity to bring healing and compassion and empathy and union to others, which will end the separation that's causing all the problems really for us right now, is through that inner intimacy. That's the gateway. That's the gateway for all of it. And it's the thing that we've been told to stay away from.
Yeah. So bizarre, isn't it? Here's a little quote from our dear friend, Liz Gilbert. I think there's a story that runs in our own lives, which is like, it's okay to have a certain season of your life when you're young and when you're sexual. But then you really better settle down into a heteronormative monogamous relationship. I didn't want that to be the ending of the story either, because I think that most of the sexual lives of most of the women I know are just more complicated than that.
Mm.
So I think that's an interesting thing too. There is something, especially in American culture, that's like, okay, you're in college. Now is the time to experiment. And then as soon as this time is done,
yes.
lock it up.
Settle down. Be good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hit all those boxes.
Well, something that I know is really great for us is we love spending time with women and being open about our own stories and our own journeys and our own paths and our own ideas about healthy sexuality and expression. And I think that we're such a space of permission that it doesn't take long at all for a group of women to spend time with us and say, wait, I want to express this in my
yes.
life. Wait, I want to do this. Well, I didn't know this was possible.
Yeah.
I didn't know this was on the table. And it's kind of interesting because I know that in the current paradigm, people who say things like that can actually be very scary.
Yes.
Because you know that when you hear that message of permission and it's okay to desire what you desire, a lot of things sometimes that we've built in our lives have to change because of that message and that knowing. And it can feel scary for those receiving it, although it's also really exciting and titillating. But it can also be scary for the conventions and the conditions because they know they're going to have to change.
That's right. And I also just want to give permission and love to women who are maturing and say, oh, this is the time. Go for it. Just because you get to a certain age doesn't mean I'm shutting the factory down. It's like, oh, this is when it starts to really get good. In fact, when I got to my like late 30s, my orgasms
yeah.
went to a whole different level of excitement. Like,
yes.
it was almost like I went to Disney World.
Yes.
And I was like, I didn't even know my body could do this.
I completely agree. It
right?
just keeps getting better and
it
better.
It just keeps getting better and better. And so I find that the older that I get, the more fun everything is. Everything just works better.
Because the more permission you're giving
yes.
yourself, the more intimacy you have with how your body works and what it wants. So as you spend more time with your own body and
That's
being
right.
intimate with your own body, you will see that it only gets better and better.
Yeah, and I also believe that as your consciousness rises, then you're able to bring that to a space.
Yeah.
And so everything starts to go to new levels.
Yeah.
So I want, if you might be a woman who's gone through, say, a divorce or a certain time in your life, and that is a place where you haven't been asking questions lately, and there's something inside of you that says, I want to wake that up, please do. I have a client who's in her 50s who is, she's like, I am giving myself permission for pleasure now and for sexual pleasure. And she talks me through just what her own experiences are. I would tell you, but it might be dangerous if you're on the subway right now, what would happen? Because she tells me these stories about what's going on with her and her sexual pleasure. And I'm like, I'm getting so hot and turned on. But how fun to allow yourself to go on a journey of your own turn on.
Right. And what I have noticed in my conversations with women about this is, A, we're just scared to have the conversation.
Yes.
But once the door is open to the conversation, every person has a different desire.
Yes.
And every desire is holy.
That's right.
One of the people I love the most in this world has been with her partner for so many years, and they have a beautiful family together. And being with that one person and experiencing that way of being together in that sexual relationship is everything for her. And she's so activated by this person and how the relationship changes and how there's been different phases at different mm-hmm. ages with their kids.
Yes.
That the energies change,
yeah.
but just the willingness for both of them to keep being like, well, maybe what do we want to do now? What does it look like now? It's changing, or my body feels different now that I had a baby. Can we have a conversation about how it wants to be different? But because they've been so in partnership with the conversation, that paradigm works so well for them.
Yes.
And then I know other people who are like, you know, one partner isn't my jam, or one gender of partner isn't my jam, but I don't know how to ask for that. And so it's kind of like female desire doesn't have to be this taboo thing of like,
yes.
well, if we start talking about female desire, are we going to talk about things that make, you know, people uncomfortable? Of course we are.
Yeah.
But also, female sexuality and desire will make you uncomfortable no matter what it looks like.
Right.
You know what I mean? And it can look in many different forms. So whatever form you feel drawn to, the important thing is just not to shame yourself for it.
That's it.
You may be completely drawn to monogamy or polyamory or whatever. You might be drawn to a flower. All is well, as long as you don't shame yourself for it.
That's it. It's deconstructing the stories or a narrative that you'd want to make around it that divides it from the divine. Because I believe, and I think you and I have had conversations about this, that your sexuality is a gift to you from the divine, right? Just like your creativity is a gift to you from the divine. And it's there for your own enjoyment and exploration. But the first thing we got to do is take shame off the table.
Because
we're never going to open doors and ask questions if we are afraid of it. Like, I want to say, let your naughtiness be a gateway to a closer relationship with the divine.
Yes.
Here's another Mama Gina quote. So many of us were taught to keep a lid on anything and everything outrageous, to turn it off. We turn off our life force, turn off our feelings, turn off our sensuality, and as a consequence, we turn off our power.
You know what's really interesting? I actually think this podcast idea was spurred from an encounter we had recently.
Really? Tell me which one. I'm so excited.
Well, you and I went to a very fancy party, right?
Yes.
You invited me to be your plus
one
at a very fancy party.
Mm-hmm.
And we were walking around this very fancy party feeling like, wow, this is a party with like very fancy people in power. And it felt like a bunch of older Caucasian men who were just in the stereotype of what that is,
mm-hmm.
right? And I remember at one point, like, you and I had like a glass of wine and we walked around, we said hi to some people, and then we were like, let's just go to my house and hang out, right?
Yeah.
Because there was this feeling of, this isn't an empowering environment for females.
Yeah.
It just doesn't feel like, it would feel more fun to just be girlfriends together and go have wine at my house. So it was really, really fun that ultimately we were like, oh, at any moment we get to choose. Are we turned on by this or not? And in that moment, we weren't turned on. And so we gave ourselves permission to leave, even though it was this, you know, on the surface, the form of it is this fancy rooftop in New York with, you know, all this money being spent and these free cocktails. It seems like, well, that's where you want to be. But if it doesn't turn you on, don't be there.
Well, and isn't that the ultimate question? Where is my turn on? And if we give ourselves permission and say, that's actually a divine intuitive rod to the truth. Am I turned on here? Is my turn on over here? Where is my turn on? And can I give myself permission to follow my turn on, to ask for my turn on, to investigate my turn on as a way of allowing my spirit, my soul to express itself in the world?
Yes.
It's actually the most holy thing we can do.
Ever. And you don't just do it with sexuality.
Mm-hmm.
You do it with everything.
That's right.
I want to move my body today.
Yeah.
How does it want to move? Don't just do the thing you always do on a Thursday. Mm-hmm. How does it want to move this Thursday?
Yes.
It doesn't have to be that you're always in this routine of sameness. The reason we don't create new neural pathways is because we're too busy doing the same thing over and over.
Oh my gosh. I was in my bliss yesterday because I had a day off.
Oh.
And I was like, to listen to my internal compass and to follow the charm. It's all I want to do.
I was off on Saturday and I went to Coney Island and did a photo shoot with a bunch of friends of mine and just literally just getting dressed up for no. Someone said, what are you doing this photo shoot for? I'm like, for joy?
Yes.
For fun? Like, what are you going to use the photos for? My own pleasure to look at myself. I don't know. Like, there's no reason.
Yeah.
It was just fun to go to the beach and take pictures in front of a cool mural for no reason and eat cotton candy. It was just joy.
Everyone keeps asking me, when are you going to Paris in July? And I was like,
for joy.
That's why.
For joy.
Sometimes I make up that I'm writing something, which I am.
Which
but
we
still,
are.
But it's for joy.
It's for joy.
It's because that's where the turn on is.
Yeah. And you can ask yourself where the turn on is every moment of every day.
Yeah.
The issue is that we ask for what we think is possible, not for what actually turns us on.
Mm-hmm. And in doing so, we deepen our friendship with ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
We deepen our love of ourselves, our respect of ourselves, and our honoring of ourselves. So it might just be fun. This week, we can all do it together as a community. Just putting our hands on our body and saying, where's my turn on? Where am I being led? What am I curious about? Where does my desire want to take me?
And if the conditioning feels so deep that asking yourself about turn on or sensuality or sexuality feels a little too scary, and start with romance.
Mm-hmm.
Start with the heart.
Mm-hmm.
How can I romance myself today? How can I be a friend to myself today? How can I access my pleasure today and giving myself pleasure and romance?
Mm-hmm.
And if you start there, very soon after, something inside you will start crawling awake and say, there's a desire here.
I got so many good Mama Gina quotes, and I'm like, I know we're running out of time. I can't read
all
of them.
Give us one more.
I might give you two more. Here's one. The world is designed to take the wind out of a woman's sails, to fill her with fear about all the ways she is inadequate. We need the focus and determination of warrior women to fight the tide of self-hatred that comes from living in a culture that devalues us.
Mm.
Like, we forget that we've been raised in a culture that has devalued us and our desires.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's actually a radical and rebellious act to say, we're turning this tide around. I believe to the core of my gut that women are so incredibly powerful and this whole and magical. And the witch hunts of the days were, don't tap into your magic. It scares us, right? Just like tapping into our sexuality, it becomes scary because we become so powerful. And here's a last one.
Because I wanted to. Oh, I love when you follow your desire.
Thank you. When she designs and then lives her own destiny, a woman naturally sets right everything wrong in our world. So it's actually a service to others to live your destiny. So we were taught that it was actually the selfless thing to do, to like try to run around and meet everybody's needs and to like subjugate yourself. No. The thing that's going to serve the world and save the world is listening to that inner calling and letting that lead you into your destiny.
Self-service as saving.
There it is.
Oh, gorgeous. That as you give yourself what is your true desire, it's a universal healing that takes place.
Everyone wins.
That's the game we're playing.
That's
and game. That turns me on.
Right? I'm literally turned on right now.
I might have to rub against something.
I know. I'm so buzzy in my nether regions. Ladies and gentlemen.
So fun.
You know, we should tell you before we sign off. I hope that you pause this many times to have an alone moment with yourself.
Nothing would make me happier than if people got some pleasure listening to our voices. That feels fun.
If you do, send us a private message. We want to know all about it. But what we want to tell you is that our summer sale, we were doing it for the first week of June, but it's been so successful and so exciting, and so many of you have been writing about how our offerings have been of service to you, that we're doing it for the whole month of June.
Yeah,
which is also my birthday month, June 18th, if you would like to also send me more private messages. Do you see how I'm just asking? I'm asking for what I want. I'm listening to my desire. We all month long, our book, our course, our happy hour, my writing course, all of it is at basement bargain prices, like half off. So if you want more Kristen and Natalie in your life, and since we are for the emergence of your spirit and soul on planet, if you are for more of yourself in this life.
And also what we were talking about today about the chakras, our book, Let's Play, is really like a deep dive into that content. So if you were interested in that conversation, this is actually a way for you to get a ton of content on that material. And our course is the chakra course, and we give you a module for each chakra. So if you just heard us describing briefly what each of those centers are about and how they affect your life, and you want actual tools and practices and exercise to say, yeah, there's definitely those parts of my life that feel blocked or that the energy's not flowing, we give you exactly the exercises for how to open up those areas. So feel free to take a deep dive with those, because that's exactly what this conversation is today.
We love you, and we love your holy desire. It's time to mess it up. Thank you so much for listening. We love to feel like we have friends all over the world in you who are committed to doing their dream on the planet.
And if you liked this podcast and you want to find out more about what we're doing or who we are, our pop-up classes, our online classes, you can check all of that out at thecreateseries.com.
And if you want to be part of our Facebook community, you can go to the Create Community page. That's C.R.E.A.T.E. community.
And if you loved this podcast, why not share it with a friend?